The 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Throws it to score! Missy it! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
They'll flip it up to Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Score!
I love UP.
Oh, what a play by Michigan Tech!
And my heart is here.
Save it for Missy. Missy wraparound attempt. Right to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Score! It's in the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Well, thank you, everybody, and we are all set to go with the Joe Schott Hour here on this beautiful Monday morning. 33 degrees, our temperature here in downtown Hancock. Thank you so much for being with us, and if you are here listening live on Monday morning, you can email your questions to us right now. It's dj@themix93.com. Brian Hallinan, sophomore forward for the Huskies, will be joining us a little bit later on in the hour. We'll pick his brain a little bit about his Michigan Tech hockey career so far. Still got a long way to go, but he'll be in just a little bit. And, Coach, we were at North Dakota's Grand Forks Ralph Engelstad Arena for the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame game on Saturday night. I thought it was a real good game. We came out just on the short end of the stick. A 2-1 game with an empty net goal made it 3-1, but thought we played really good, especially the first and third periods.
Yeah, I think we had a lapse in the second period for sure, especially in our transition game creating offense, but I thought our guys competed hard. We're getting better every week. We didn't give up much at all. Even in the second period, we didn't give up a ton. When you go in there and limit them to the amount of scoring chances we limited them to, you're certainly growing. We generated some great looks at their net on transition, on some line rush opportunities, a little bit on offensive zone play, on the power play, on what limited power play we had. We have some scoring chances on that as well. So there's certainly growth. I feel good about a lot of the direction that we're going, and we'll continue to work and continue to get better. But right now, I really, in honesty, can't ask much more of the group. We're just growing. We're just growing as a team, and every goal against is magnified because of our inability to score, but that part of the game, the looks that we're getting is improving. So against good competition, we're playing against very, very good teams. All of our series is this year, even the first one on the road at Robert Morris, right onto Alaska, who, came back, had a split with Bemidji this weekend, shut out Penn State at Penn State. They're a good hockey team, so we've had good competition, and that won't end. We'll play the number two team in the country this weekend at home. So great opportunities for us to grow and get better, and I think it's paying dividends for us.
Yeah, we didn't get any power plays till that third period, and not that necessarily we deserved any, but it was just one of those strange games where you're on the road, and maybe you expect to be a little bit behind the eight ball as far as having less power plays than the home team, but there wasn't any until quite a bit into the third period, it seemed like. And we never really got the wheels turning on that. But we got a great, I thought that first 5 minutes of play, which we didn't have any whistles until we scored, was amazing. I mean, just back and forth, I thought both teams moved the puck well. And I thought overall we dominated that first five plays.
Yeah, we had a good first period. Didn't give up anything really against. The goal they got was on, both goals they got, 5-on-5 were, actually one was 4-on-4, but they were both the same type of play. We had rim plays. Wings had the ability to make the play. Didn't make the play. I think that, and they ended up in our net. I guess that's the easiest way to put it. We need to get stronger and more disciplined in those areas. Blisser, I don't fault him. I think that North Dakota did a good job there of pressuring him right away when he had the puck, and did a good job of separating. And then they turned that into a play. They got on the right guy's stick, Kawaguchi, in the slot. That was more where we gave up critical ice. I think if we kept that play to the outside, it's harmless. And the the inopportune thing on that is that we were going on the power play right after that 4-on-4. So we were getting through a few, 30 seconds, 40 seconds of 4-on-4 play until we got in the power play and it caught us and they scored on us. But again, I think that on that, North Dakota made a good play and we had a young player get a little bit too, aggressive maybe on his D-zone cover and needed to hold a little bit better ice for us and buy time for some players to recover.
So let's go back to the beginning of the game. As we mentioned, great up and down action in the Huskies. I thought controlled the majority of the play in the first 5 minutes. There were no whistles until this goal.
Scoreless with 14:23 left to go in the first period. No whistles yet in this game. Steal by Smith. Quick pass to the front. Getting it now is Hallinen. Hallinen drives down to the corner. Now for Smith in front. Kick pass. They're scored! Misiak with the goal and the Huskies strike first. With 4:10 left to go in the first period, 1-0.
Well, you can hear all the Huskies fans, first of all.
Yeah, isn't
that giant building that they have there. Yeah. You can hear the Huskies fans. It was great. What a great play, though. I mean, Hallinen, I thought, really stepped up his game in that contest on many many facets of his game. And a great play by Smith, and Misiak kicked it to his own back end and scored.
Yeah, Justin, I'm glad that he got rewarded. He played very well for us at Bowling Green as well. And he's been off the score sheet the entire season. And Smitty made a really nice play to him. And Justin did a good job, got on the backhand and fed it between the goaltender's legs. That was just a well-executed play in the offensive zone. We had several of those throughout the game, where we're just not able to put that puck in the net, on some really good plays. That was a good one. I thought Smitty had an outstanding game, was probably as effective as anybody on either team on the ice, did a good job on faceoffs for us. One draws that resulted in scoring chances as well. So, I thought that line played pretty well for us, throughout the night and did in a lot of little areas too. They're really leading us by example in a lot of ways, and I was proud of their effort.
Shots in the first period were 9 for Michigan Tech and 7 for UND. They did score. This came at the 10:41 mark of period number 1.
He'll win the draw. Back to the point. Donahue fanning on a rolling puck. Had bounced, hopped up on him a little bit, tried to one-time it. And the Fighting Hawks will send it inside the Michigan Tech zone. Huskies reverse flow, back to the point, held in. Here's a shot, there's traffic, and they score! Kirsten from the point, found the right side of the net through heavy traffic in front of Robbie Badoon, and we have a tie game, 1-1.
So, Coach, that's what you're talking about, that we sent the puck around on the rim. The winger on that half wall was supposed to make a play there, and it got through him and to the point, right?
Right, and that's about the third or fourth we've let in like that this year, and those are groaners. That was very similar to two goals we let in against Fairbanks here where the puck goes up to the strong side and they just throw it at the net and it goes in the net. And, there's a lot of things that got to go into play on that as far as defensive reposturing. We absolutely need guys in position for those floaters to have blocks on them. And we don't. We have some drifting there. And that's, that's been a little bit of a, with a couple of our defensemen, a little bit of a, a enigma with us on them, why they drift and float out of position a little bit. And that's what happened on that. We had Sawyer, rimmed it, made a good play up to Hallinen on the wall, and it got by Brian. And then it just went to the point, and we should have had a couple guys lined up in that shooting lane, and we didn't. And part of it was one defenseman ran into the forward who was trying to get into the lane, and that defenseman should have been in the lane himself. So, but again, there are little things that catch us. It's not happening a lot. Everything is magnified, like I said, when you're not scoring. We had our chances to score. But I really can't be more, more optimistic about the direction we're heading. We have an extremely young team that's doing a lot of things well. We're playing tough teams hard in their buildings. We need to keep growing with that and make sure we don't lose confidence. I feel a lot different about this group than I felt a year ago about the group because we're not giving things away. The opposition's earning everything they get. No one's cheating. We have a little bit of drifting, like I said, but that's certainly not cheating, for offense. So, it's gonna come. It's a work in progress. It's gonna come. And again, we're extremely young, in building this and getting relying a lot on a lot of really young players that I think are doing a great job for us. And again, I can't ask more than the upperclassmen are giving us in their leadership. And, you know, Smitty's been absolutely fantastic for us. I thought Mitch Meek went in and did an excellent job. He had to recover and bail us out a couple of times. I thought it was a pretty soft call on him in the first period on when he got back and covered on that little hook they called on him. Pretty soft call, but we killed it. Our penalty kill, I thought, was very good.
Yeah, 0-for-5 on the penalty kill was really, really good. And, you know, when you're dealing with North Dakota, who's always tough on the power play, that was obviously a big part of the game to keep us right there with him. Can you talk a little bit about the second period, Coach, where we didn't give up much. We no goals were scored. It was still 1-1 after two. They did get 8 shots on goal. They did have 2 power plays. We had none. We were only able to muster that 1 shot on goal, and they did control much more of the play in that second period.
Yeah, they did, and it was in transition. It was very similar to the Bowling Green series. We talked about it before the game. We just get caught. We get caught in the second period on the long changes. With poor line changes at times where we don't manage the puck and get it in where we can come off together. So we have one guy coming off here, one guy coming off there, one guy and coming off there. And then, it creates a constant flux of non-cohesion as you're trying to work the play up the ice because guys are always coming off the ice. And then the opposition gets a change in there. And then, you know, then all of a sudden we're trying to change again. And sometimes we get 2 changes away where we have to go right to the third line because the second line never gets completely out, but they're caught in the zone a bit. We didn't give up very much at all. We just didn't manage the puck very well. A lot of that comes from our defense, for sure, having to make clean breakouts, but a lot of it comes from our forwards, not over pursuing, not getting caught. We gave up the biggest scoring chance we gave up that hurt us. Where 3 guys were caught deep and they just threw the puck out and created one pass, was creating a 3-on-2 type situation. But we only gave up 4 scoring chances against. A couple of them were on the power play. So, we didn't give up a ton. North Dakota didn't generate a ton, but we didn't generate anything because when we were coming up ice, we weren't managing the puck well. And when we did, it was in, you know, line change type situations. And that's something, again, we addressed before the game, got better and got back at things in the third period.
Do you remember what the scoring chances were in the entire game, Coach, that you guys figured out?
I had them at 12-10 for us. It would be 12-11 if we gave them that empty net goal. So, first period was our best margin. Third period was relatively even.
Jordan Kawaguchi scored the game winner at the 12:29 mark, and it was Gavin Main scoring the empty netter to make it a 3-1 final. Final shots, 24-15 in favor of UND over Michigan Tech. Power plays for both teams, neither able to score. The Huskies really only had 2.5 power plays, 5 for UND, as they were able to not able to score and get 5 power play shots on goal. Robbie Badoon, very solid in net with 21 saves, and Adam Shield was also very good with 14 saves. But you mentioned face-offs, Coach, and Alex Smith, 15 wins, 11 losses, and Brian Hallinan had 1 win, 1 loss at the center position, and we just seem to be getting more consistent there. Game by game.
Yeah, our guys are doing improving in every facet. I'm not disappointed in the way we're playing. We got to stick with it, and we got to better our chances. A number of the scoring chances we had were missed net opportunities where pass. As a good example, we had a 2-on-1 opportunity and threw it across to Parker Sretzky, and that happened twice. We made good plays to him, and one time he kind of got a shot off and it went wide of the net, and another time he missed the net with it. So they're opportunities where we just need to get a handle on them and do what we do. But that, again, that's the more opportunities we have with that, the better we're going to get at it. We do have to bear down more at that in practice. We seem to, we don't bear down at those opportunities and look at the 3-on-2s we had. We had several 3-on-2s that we just need to make the right play on them. And those are, those will come, you know, as the guys get better and as they see how important they are, they'll come. So I'm not disappointed at all in our team. I think our culture is good. It's growing. Our work ethic is good. Our attention to detail is good. We're not giving up much at all. It's not like we're going in giving up 22, 23 scoring chances against. We're defending well. It comes down to every goal against is critical because of our, inability to generate that offense. And we're relying on a lot of young guys. Smitty's doing his job, I think, as an upperclassman. Misiak's starting to grow in that area. So the few upperclassmen that we have are doing their job and leading us in the best way they possibly can.
Very good. Final score, North Dakota 3, Michigan Tech 1 with that empty net goal. And the Huskies now will get set to come back home against a very good Minnesota State team this weekend. Special guest Brian Helland, a sophomore forward for the Huskies, is with us. He'll join us on the other side of the break here on Mix 93. It's the Joe Schaan Hour. If you have a question for Coach Schaan or for Mr. Helland, email it to us right now, dj@themix93.com.
Parents, do you want your child's shoes to fit perfectly? Then you need to get your kids Skechers Stretch Fit shoes, because Skechers Stretch Fit shoes easily slip on and fit almost like a sock. And not only do they fit like a dream, they perform like one too. Skechers Stretch Fit keeps your child's feet comfortable all day long with Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. Plus, you'll love just how durable they are. And if they get dirty, just pop them in the washing machine. Skechers Stretch Fit shoes. Find them at a Skechers store near you, Skechers.com, or wherever kids' shoes are sold.
At Ulta Beauty, you can turn holiday shopping into holiday shopping, because now you can shop beauty in so many ways. Buy unforgettable fragrances and oh-so-pretty palettes online and pick them up in store when it's oh-so-convenient for you. With the Ulta Beauty app, you can shop for gorgeous gift sets or luscious lip kits with personalized offers and coupons literally at your fingertips. And when you're shopping for work party wow looks, you can virtually try before you buy. Shop the way you want this season and get ready to give, gather, and glow. Ulta Beauty. The possibilities are beautiful.
Two things go hand in hand in the Copper Country in November. That's the hunting season and Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All 15 and 18 packs of beer are on sale. All Coke and 7-Up 2 liters are 2 for $3. Pepsi 1 and a quarter liters are 4 for $5. And Pepsi 12 packs of cans are 2 for $10. Pick up some locally made Skinny Pete's bagels for the camp. And stay warm with Keweenaw Alpaca gear. Bucko's has hunting licenses and deer feed. Get your party started at Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All sales do not include tax and deposit.
It's almost Busch O'Clock, a time for relaxing and unwinding with a crisp, cold Busch beer. It's the most refreshing time of the day. Wait for it. 3, 2, 1. Busch. Crisp, cold Busch. Enjoy it responsibly. Busch Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on this Monday. And Coach Schaan, of course, in our studio. We also are very happy to have Brian Helland in for the first time here on in our studio today. Brian Helland, and sophomore forward for the Huskies from Delano, Minnesota. And Brian, nice to have you in with us. Thanks for taking time between classes, right? You had a class earlier today, and then you got a class right after this, right?
Yeah.
So let's just talk a little bit about the game on Saturday. You've been hearing us chat about it. Very close game, obviously, and in a building that none of us had, none of our team has played in before. What were your thoughts on the game in general, obviously, besides coming down on the wrong end of the stick there?
Yeah, I mean, whenever you lose, it's never good, and that's a tough environment to play in, but we weren't intimidated at all, and I thought we played well, and we grew throughout the game, and I think we're in a good place, just like Joe said.
Yeah, and you got the assist on the very first goal of the game that came without any whistles prior to that on Misiak's goal, and talk a little bit about that play and how it all developed there.
Yeah, I got it. It was kind of a broken play, I think. Mm-hmm. I picked it up on the left side, and then gave it to Smitty, who made a great play to Mizzy, and Mizzy put it in.
So that was a great goal, and the Huskies did strike first in that. And Brian, you've had some pretty big goals in your career. Let's test you out a little bit here, see if you can remember. Do you remember your first goal of your career?
Wisconsin, I believe.
Yeah, do you remember much about it?
I guess, no, I don't.
Bliss looking in front. Back to the point. Here's a shot. No, held on to. Back up from Hallinan to Swoyer. Swoyer for Hallinan. His shot scores! He went short side, and Hallinan with the goal. His first as a Husky on the power play. The Huskies lead it 2-1.
Yeah, bring back in. Bring it back, that offer, you know?
That does a little bit now. Yeah. I guess I do remember getting it from Sawyer, so
yeah,
that much I remember.
And what your thoughts? I mean, what does it feel like to get that first goal out of the way, especially in a Big Ten rink like that?
Yeah, getting that first one was obviously a huge, huge thing for me, just for watching this team for a long time, and to score a goal with this team was a big milestone for me.
Absolutely. Let's try one more goal here for you. Do you remember this one?
Back across the line comes Hallinan. Hallinan looking in front, brings it in deep. Brian Hallinan takes it all the way around. He's going to shoot. It scores! On the officials.
Remember that one?
That last bit at the end gave it away. I think Michigan, right?
Yeah, and the GLI, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that play? I remember. I mean, I remembered it before I even looked up the goal, because it was just one of those ones where you came right from all the way from behind the net and brought it all the way up front.
Yeah.
To the top.
I think you said that at the end. That's what gave it away. But yeah, on that play, I think the D just when I went around the net, I don't think the D. He passed me off, but I don't know if the forward picked me up, so I just had some space and put it on net.
Do you know what team you've scored the most goals against so far? You were really young in your career still. We're only a few games into your sophomore year, but do you know what team you have scored against the most?
I think you have
four against Anchorage.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
And
you have six against the Alaska Schools.
I didn't know that.
Well, I know that. That's why I'm here, Brian. I'm going to tell you that. Brian Hallinan from Delano, Minnesota, which is just west of the cities, right?
Yeah.
And talk about growing up in Delano.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's cold there. Backyard rinks are awesome. My parents actually just flooded their rink recently, so.
Yeah, they already got it going?
Yeah. It's supposed to be cold all this week, so my mom's always antsy to get it going, and we're always skating at least by Thanksgiving. So
yeah, you're still one of the younger kids on the team. You came in as a 19-year-old here, right? When you beat Husky, and now you're 20 years old. 10 kids in your family. Most of them, I think, are still in high school or younger.
I'm the third oldest. So
okay.
One's graduated, or two have graduated college now, and then. Yeah, the rest are under me.
And I think most people know, I mean, with a name like Hallinan, you obviously, your roots are from the Copper Country, right?
Yeah. Dad grew up in Calumet.
Yeah, Calumet, and tons of relatives in the area. Did you have any people come over to the game at North Dakota?
Yeah, my parents made it there, and whatever younger brothers and sisters that weren't playing this weekend.
Yeah, you're not sure of all their names either, are you?
No, I am, but... one of them was playing, so he didn't want to go, so he can't miss his game.
Yeah, and of course Tyler Hanenden from Delano, Minnesota. Tyler Hanenden, who played for the Huskies before you. I think I've asked you this before, but how familiar are you with the Hanenden family prior to coming up here? Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up watching him when he was in high school.
Yeah,
looked up to him. He was a great player, and I talked to him before I visited here, and he had nothing but good things to say about it, and this is just the place to be.
Yeah. Coach, what is it about Brian that makes him a special player and probably will be somebody that the pros will really take a good look at with his size and everything?
Power. Yeah. Power and skating. He's power. He brings the puck hard to the net, has a heavy shot, and plays with power. So that's the biggest. Those size-strength guys that can skate and forecheck as well, those dual-role guys are valuable to teams.
Brian, what is the part of your game that you feel still needs to improve here at the college level to make the next step to the pros?
Just learning game, like Joe says, just on all aspects of the game, positioning, details, and there's a lot of things in the pro game that are very very systematic, and there's still room for improvement for me, definitely, on that way.
Our schedule this year is kind of the opposite of last year, where we had, I don't want to say an easier schedule, but less ranked teams in the first half of the season. This year, we're playing all these great teams early on in the season. How has that benefited our growth, as Coach has been talking about? Because I see every game, and I can see it even without Coach telling me that we're getting better every game. How does that help when we're playing these teams like that?
Yeah, it shows what we have, and I think we've shown that we have it in this group to pull it together, and we can make a run in the spring. And when you play those good teams early, yeah, it really shows what you have, and that's the best in college hockey right now. And Mankato will be that, and I think we can really get a belief in ourselves and just playing good against these teams, and know that we can play with anyone.
What's your favorite road trip so far? Favorite either city or building to play in outside of the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena as a college player?
Yeah, of course, the Johnny Mac, but. North Dakota was a rink I've never been to. I've always heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone talks about it and about being the whatever fanciest rink in college hockey. And yeah, it was a really nice rink for sure.
And school's going well for you. You're an engineer student, correct?
Yeah,
mechanical.
It's busy. Yeah, mechanical.
And it starts getting into the real meat of your degree now, doesn't it?
Yeah, next semester will be okay. Pretty heavy.
How are you good at managing your time? Because you really do have two full-time jobs when you're a Division I hockey player and a student, and you really got to be good at managing your time.
Like when we go on the road and we miss class, it's you're not excused from the work. You still have to do it, so mm-hmm. You always try find time on Wednesday night in the hotel to get your stuff done, and Sunday's always busy with school because whatever you weren't able to do on Friday or Saturday. So, and yeah, it'll be busy for sure next semester. I get into more of the heavier core classes, and so yeah, it's really busy. But
are you good at shutting it off though? Are you, because I know hockey players are thinking hockey 24 hours a day, but you sometimes when you have to think, I mean, especially as an engineering student at Tech, you've got to be able to shut that off and concentrate on school. Are you good at that? I mean, is your family good at that? Because you've had other kids, other members of your family, obviously, that have gone to Michigan Tech and everything.
Yeah, my older brother went through the mechanical engineering program, and it helps that there's a couple other on the team. I have a lot of classes with Eric Goetz and mm-hmm. David Risen, and so we can kind of talk about the classes and get some homework done together. So that helps a lot.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Minnesota State, one of our big rivals in the WCHA. We seem to have a lot of them, but this is one of those teams that has been just a little bit ahead of us the last few years in trying to catch them. How do you prepare for a big series like this back at home when we didn't have the best two games in our first showing at home against Alaska, and trying to remedy that?
Yeah, obviously they're a good team. They're ranked very high, but I don't think we changed too much. I mean, we know who we are as a team. We know what makes us click, and I think if we do that, that'll give us the best chance to win.
All right, Brian. Anything else for Brian, Coach, that we need to know about? I mean, he's a fun player to watch, obviously, and obviously integral. What?
No, not that I'm going to share on here.
integral to the success of this team. I think, anyway.
No, I'm not going to say something like he wears ladies' underwear or anything like that. No, there's nothing. There's nothing.
All right, Brian. Well,
he's a great kid, like all of our group. We have a tremendous group of young men that represent the university very well. They work extremely hard. They do everything we ask. So I have nothing but positive feelings about this whole group, including Brian.
All right, Brian, well, we'll let you go. You got class coming up at, what, 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock.
All right, well, we'll let you go. Thanks for coming in. We really appreciate it. Good luck this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks, Dirk.
All right, Brian Hallin and sophomore forward for the Huskies here on the Joe Schaan Hour. We've got more from Coach, including your questions to Coach, coming up after these here on Mix 93.
Red 18!
This season, you can share a Coke with your team on it. So I'm going to tell you how with a little help from this quarterback.
Fratelli, 44.
You can share a Coke when your team's up.
Red Poncho.
You can share a Coke when your team's down.
Happy Dolly.
You can share a Coke with a coach, a mascot, or an MVP.
Chili, chili, chili.
You can even share a Coke with your rival on game day.
Turbo.
Or you can share a Coke when you're giving out your famous guacamole recipe in a completely packed stadium.
Cilantro, chopped onion, squeeze a lime, Roma tomato, hike.
Share a Coke with a fan this season.
Ice cold, delicious.
Share a Coke is back for the fall football season. We all know what comes with being a fan of the ups, the downs, and everything in between. Whether you've just won a big game and want to celebrate with fellow fans, or want to share a Coke with your best friend whose team just lost against their arch rival, Coca-Cola has something for you. Share a Coke with a teammate, rival, or a friend this season.
It takes hard work to reach goals. It's a truth that applies to more than sports. It goes for your financial goals as well. You work hard for your money. You deserve an investment strategy that lines up with your game plan. And your local Edward Jones financial advisor can help. If your investments aren't putting forth the effort, call me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, at 482-8680 or stop by for a financial review. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Hello, business owners. This is Mike Mikula
and Jeff Mikish from the Turvo Agency. Do you wish your business insurance plan was simple and easy to understand?
With our team's more than 50 years of combined experience in the insurance business, we have developed ways to simplify the process for you.
Stop in to see us at 230 Quincy Street in downtown Hancock or give us a call at 482-0080 to set up an appointment.
Turvo, insurance simplified.
Series coming up for the Michigan Tech Huskies. By the way, thanks to Brian Hellinan again for stopping by here today and being our special guest on the Joe Schaan Hour. Fun talking to these kids, and he still is a kid, man, just turned 20 this year and already in a sophomore campaign as a Michigan Tech hockey player. But
yeah, he was the youngest player in the league last year,
right?
In our league, and I don't know where he stood as far as college hockey, but he was the youngest athlete in the WCHA last year.
Yes, and so let's get to some of these questions, Coach, since we got quite a few of them coming in. And our first question is, Coach, what are some of the better nicknames the coaches and players have for each other this year? And did you have a nickname during your playing days?
Well, I won't get into mine, but I think they're pretty standard. Blisser, Bots is what they call
Bretzman.
Bretzman.
Is Paul Glaze Pogie. Glazer?
Pogie? Yeah, okay. They could probably call him Glazer, but too. Pogie they call him a lot. There's standard.
I know Paratino is Tino.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot. The Pietola kids, you talk about young kids. Two of the younger players probably in the league, the Logan and Blake, the twins, who were both on the trip this weekend.
Wright, I know the guy's called.
Grayson.
Yeah.
Wright.
So,
yeah.
Meeker,
yes. Yeah. Missy for Missyak, I think, is one of them.
Oh, That's one. I'm sure they have a lot for him.
coaches around the league have their own nicknames for the coaches around the league, too. I don't know if you want to get into that at all, but I hear things between you guys.
I don't know of any. I mean, I know that Tom Sartori's Ernie.
Right, that's the one that comes to mind.
Bert and Ernie. Yeah. And I think that's probably, they probably call Frank Bert. You know, from the old Sesame Street, his brother Frank. So, they call Mike Hastings is people call him Freddie Flint. No, Barney Rubble. I'm sorry,
Barney Rubble.
And he takes that affectionately. That's from back in his junior days.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
I never heard that one.
Yeah,
that's good. All right, so good. Next question is, Coach. Essentially, there was a screw up in the by the officials in the Wisconsin Penn State series. I did read about this. I didn't see the actual video on this. That where there were some penalties assessed towards the end of a period, and one of the guys that was to receive a roughing call, they actually put the wrong guy in the box. They had the right number and name, but they didn't actually put that guy in the penalty box, I believe is what happened on it. And then the period ended with the penalty still in progress, and during the intermission, they realized the mistake and then put him in there. And essentially, the guy that was
supposed to be called for the, or was called for the penalty, was out there killing off his own penalty, which is a difference. And this listener is wondering if you had any opinion on that.
No, nothing. Very little surprises me, so no, I have no comment on it.
Coach, can you discuss recruiting, and can we expect any commitments anytime soon?
We hope so. We have to. I feel that there's some areas we need to obviously address. We need to address our center ice position. That's a big deal. Our depth at the center ice position. I think realistically, probably if we were to nudge everybody around a little bit, we're two impact forwards away from getting to where we're competing for the league championship right now. And I think those could come from our younger guys in development as they grow and as they keep maturing. But we need to improve our depth so that we can, going forward, so that we allow those guys to grow and allow those guys to keep maturing. So I think there's two things. We're time away, but I do think we need a couple of, top end, top six forwards that we're working hard at. I also think we need a couple of D that are actually, true, top four defense that really take control of the game when the game's on the line. I think that's important that you have those guys that have the ability to be difference makers in games. And you saw the impact that Shane Hanna had on us, and you saw the impact that Matt Roy had on us. And then when they left and Mitch Reinke emerged, you saw the impact that he had on us. You need one or two of those guys for sure that have the ability to take control of a game. Other than that, you're trying to beat that, those difference makers, without having that. So I think we need one or two top and high caliber defensemen that we're working hard on. They may be in our system already, they may not be, so we'll see on that as development progresses. I know that we have a couple of good forwards in our system that are still a little bit away that are going to be impact players. We're close on that. So I think that we have, recruiting wise, we're going to go after, I think we can fill in our depth, and we have some of our depth with really good players that can bump roles, and as they develop, they may be in our top six, they may be in our top nine. But I do think that we need to recruit some high-end skill guys that can also play the game, and we do have some of those recruited and committed right now.
Coach, can you talk about the offensive struggles a little bit more early on in the season? This listener is saying, is it possible that the guys are so worried about making a mistake in fear of being benched or scratched that it hinders their hinders them from playing their full offensive potential?
I guess anything's possible, but if you look at it, our top nine aren't getting benched or scratched. They're all playing in every situation. We're using more guys in the penalty kill, so they're getting time on that. Our top nine forwards, I think, are right now pretty stabilized, and I think they're doing a really good job, and they're the guys that that are growing and impacting in a lot of ways. And I think our depth right now, in honesty, we're looking for that depth to fourth line. We're very much like right now where we were 3 years or 2 years ago when we won the playoff championship, and that we really played three lines, and that's why people think it's such a, coaches within the league say it was such a great run by our players, in that we played three lines and 5D for the most part, and went on the road and won three game series on the road, and went on the road and won the championship at Northern, and went on the road for the national tournament, played an excellent game. And I've heard people tell me that'll never happen again. I think it will, but we're like that right now. We're trying to find a line that can buy us some time and not play, shifts in our zone. And that's, so I don't think in a lot of ways there's intimidation. I don't see that. You're around it. You could answer that. You're on the bus with those guys. You see how we're playing our guys. I don't think so. I think the guys that we're really relying on for offense are pretty comfortable with where they're at and are just working hard at growing.
So you're basically saying that fourth line right now, where we have seen some interchangeable parts going on, that's where you're looking to get more of a stability from right now.
Yeah, just so we don't burn out our top lines in series. It wasn't as big a deal this weekend because we only played one game, so we played it accordingly. But when we were at Bowling Green, we really had to be creative, and we didn't really shorten the bench like we had to really shorten the bench in the second period of the second game. But we're still, we're really spotting that line, and we need, I want to be able to use them more. Now, I think Noble's in a position to make strides. I think Crespi's in a position. And again, like I've said, as long as they don't hurt us defensively and go against what we're doing, defensively, if they can do things offensively, and it's natural to them, we have to give those guys, you know, an opportunity to see what they can do. And a lot of guys have gotten those chances, to do that. Now, some guys may think that, you know, they may get tight because they're coming out of the games, or we're going with other guys, but that's why we're going with them, to see who can defend and not hurt us defending and create some offense. You know, I thought Mitch Meek did an excellent job for us. He did an excellent job the other night in his first game in a long time. He's been close several times, but we talked about it this week. Different things happen. Last year, he got a concussion right when he was getting ready to make some strides. Then he had a knee injury when he was getting ready to make some strides. And this year, he cut his thigh when he was getting, you know, when he was getting going early. And then he got sick. He would have been playing at Bowling Green, but he got sick. But he's working so hard. He's doing so many good things. So, you know, we reward guys. Now, the guys that come out of the lineup, you know, yeah, they're probably going to feel it. But I was that guy too, you know, as a goaltender, only one guy plays. You know, you perform, and if you don't have a performance, you expect not to perform, and you're working hard to get back in and pulling for the guy that's in there. So that's part of athletics. It's not, it really isn't. You can't just hand out trophies to everybody. Everything has to be earned. And you know, the grade school stuff is over, and you know, you have to be positive and work hard and add in any way you can and contribute when you're in there, and not expect just to play, but just because you're on the roster to play. So, but I do think our top guys, our top nine forwards kind of are comfortable in where they're at and they're growing.
Next question. Coach, the team seems to have grown a lot since the Alaska series. Where do you see this team going in terms of success?
Well, if we continue growing, I will say this. I'm quite certain that Mike Hastings is telling his team, don't underestimate these guys. They play a little bit better, a little bit more together than they did a year ago. You're not going to get those soft plays. And if you do, it's not customary for them to give that up. So, I think he'll probably tell his guys the same thing. This team is better than you think it is. They can sting you. You know, they're, if they score goals, we're going to be in for a series because we're, you know, the chances are, the likelihood is that we're not going to, you know, get a lot. And that's from a team that's very offensive. You know, they beat Bowling Green the other night 5-1 after giving up a 2-0 lead and losing 3-2 in overtime the first night. So, yeah, I think, you know, yeah, it's interesting. You go one question, do you think guys are this? And then you go to the other question. Boy, this team has really grown. So, where are we headed? I don't know. Well, as far as we keep going, all I'm focused on is one day at a time. I'm not looking for down the road. I'm not looking for 2 weeks. I'm not looking forward to the July. I'm looking forward to our next game. Which guys give us the best chance of performing in that and continued growth?
Next question for Coach, if I can find it here. I thought I lost it there for a second. Next question. How do you determine a high money, low money, or walk-on offer when it comes to recruiting?
Where we project them to be in the lineup, it's just like it would be when you hire someone. Do you hire them at this position or that position or that position? If we feel that the person's a top six forward, that offers us what we need, he's going to have more. Sometimes you have to offer somebody more than you would normally offer them, because of what's available and the competition that's going on for that limited availability. And sometimes you're just not willing to concede that, and you just say, I'm not willing to do that. Let's work it from within and work from there. So, depth guys, like I said, I think depth guys, part of the situation that we got in here is that, as most people know, when I got named head coach, we had some really good players committed that are now playing on some other teams, particularly one other team. And they're impacting, and they're playing all the time for them, and they're impacting, and they're good players. So what it left us with was our depth guys, those guys were, that were on different money and things like that, that you're recruiting for a certain aspect to fill a certain role. But your skill has gone away. Some of your skill has gone away. So that's kind of why we're working so hard to get through this, and why we work so hard to recruit and bring in the guys like Botts and Blisser and those guys that you know, Misiak had, you know, 70 something points and 30 goals in his last year in the North American League, and I'd had a history with him. We're trying to up that skill level to get it back to where it was before, but it's, and you've heard me say it, and some people probably don't like it, especially when they're a parent of one of the older players, but our skill is really in our younger guys, and you see that. 16 of our 18 goals have come from freshmen and sophomores. Smitty scored a goal, and Misiak just scored a goal. So our first goal and our last goal that we've scored, first goal of the year and the last goal, were scored by upperclassmen. Everything else is by underclassmen. So we're putting that together, and I think it's coming in the right way. Part of what goes on with that, though, is the other guys are like, hey, I've been here, I've worked hard, I'm entitled to this. And that might come to the question that I was asked. You think guys are, you know, they're afraid to make a mistake. Some guys might certainly be, because maybe they do or don't have the ability to play in a role that they're needed, that they want to play in, and they think that they should be playing in that role. You know what I mean? So that creates, and I think last year that certainly created a lot of entitlement attitude within our locker room. We talked about it often. We don't have that this year. I think our upper class has done a great job of, and I think we sent the message clear that you perform, you're going to get the opportunity if you perform. No one works harder than Ray Bryce. No one. And that's the reason his love for the team, his love for the community, his work ethic are why I put the C in his jersey. He amplified the direction that we want to go within our culture. Now, I've said often, when you get to the impact on the game, Ray may not have the same impact that others have on the game, and that's, he may be in the lineup every night, he may not be in the lineup every night, depending on how he can defend, how he can keep pressure off us, how he can do the things we've talked about. But there's no one that amplifies what we want more. But sometimes, I can give, you know, a good example, I can give you a map, Dirk, and put you in Chicago, in the middle of Chicago, and say, I'll give you $1 million if you get out of, if you can get out of here in 45 minutes. And here's a map. And I give you the map to Philadelphia. Well, you can run around in circles all you want, as hard as you want. And if you don't have the right map, you're not getting out of there. So the hard work has to come with the ability to, you know, get the job done. So you have to have the right map. Everything has to come in place. Hard work is part of it, but you really need everybody to work hard. Everybody needs to work as hard as they can, and then it's who impacts the game the most. And that's really the accountability part, is each guy on the team holding their friends and that to their standard. That's really what love is. Love is really holding to a standard. You know, parents love their kids. They don't want to discipline their kids. They do it because they feel it's important for their kids in their maturity process. No one wants to make somebody discomfortable. Certainly me, that's the biggest thing that keeps me up at night. That's what makes me go to confession. You know what I mean? Like, it's the hardest thing on me, is making sure. That's why we watch so much tape of practice and everything, to make sure we're making the right decisions of what the players actually earn and the right people are playing.
Do you see, you mentioned this a lot this year, Coach, so far, is that we need to bring practice to the game. Are we seeing more of that as we go through the early part of this year?
I think you can answer that for me. I mean, you see it from up top. I like what I'm seeing.
But
on
I don't
the team.
See practices all the time, yeah, like you do.
Good point. I think we had one bad week of practice, and that was the Alaska week. I think that was an unenergized week of practice, and maybe a false sense of bravado coming out with the 7-0 win against Mankato. Maybe the travel stuff. Maybe could have been a lot of things. Robert Morris. We don't want to have. You don't ever want to make excuses, but that was not a good week of practice. And the same thing, we came out unenergized in the game on the weekend, and guys didn't know why. Well, I think part of it is bringing not changing the way you know, practicing like you play and playing like you practice. Now, this week, we talked about it. We certainly could have come out intimidated with, I don't know how many thousands of people were at the game. It was a great environment at the game. No better than our arena. Ours is better in a lot of ways.
10,899 at that game.
Yeah, and I don't know what the rink holds, but it's got to be close to that. So it was close to capacity if it wasn't. And our guys came out great. And our guys came out great at Bowling Green both nights. So we're getting it. We're getting over the hump. I am very proud I know people want results, and I get that. But I'm really proud of how our guys are developing and working and maturing, and you know the offense now that we're starting to generate, it's close. You know, are we natural goal scorers? We're gonna find out. We're hoping some guys get a little bit more natural, and some other guys just grunt their way through it and get ugly goals. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into it, but I'm extremely proud of our group.
Very good, Coach. We'll take a break. Be back with more. It is the Joe Schottauer exclusively on Mix 93.
Are you sick of crushing candy and want something better? Well, better is here with Best Fiends. Join millions of satisfied Americans and start playing today. Best Fiends is a 5-star rated addicting puzzle adventure game where you collect cute characters and solve thousands of fun puzzles. Don't miss out on the Best Fiends obsession. Download Best Fiends for free from the App Store or Google Play today. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Play Best Fiends. Download free.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. The world is changing. Isn't it time smoking changed too? Vuse Alto is a vapor product offering you a satisfying alternative to cigarettes. Simple to use, surprisingly quiet, and impressively powerful. Our best vapor yet at our best price ever. 99 cents plus tax at participating retailers. 99 cent offer applies to Alto device. Upon sold separately. Underage sale prohibited.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images invite you to join Husky Deals. When you join us on Husky Deals, you'll receive exclusive information about our upcoming promotions, sales, and events. Send your preferred email address to campusstore@mtu.edu and we'll add you promptly. Stop by today or visit us online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Husky Deals from the Campus Store and University Images. Don't miss out. Join today. Thank you for your patronage and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Since 1942, Pisani Company has been distributing your favorite adult beverages here in the Western Upper Peninsula. They're a local family business stationed in Atlantic Mine and part of the fabric that makes our Copper Country community great. Pisani brings you Coors and Coors Light, KBC, Bell's, the ever-popular White Claw, and now, Truly, the official seltzer of the NHL. Nearly 80 years of history and making history every day. Pisani Company, Atlantic Mine.
Welcome back to the Joe Schottauer here on Mix 93 WK. We just shortened the name a little bit, Coach, and called it Joe Schauer. You know, here's the next question for you, Coach. You said that you were going to try to get another year for a rising in due to circumstances. Does Bryce have another year of eligibility? Says this listener.
You know, I don't know about either of those. With David, I don't think we said we were going to try to. I think what we said is we think there's a chance that he could have that. There's a lot that goes into that with him, with the team, with numbers, with everything. I think he's done a really good job. With Ray, I don't know what that status is either. I mean, it's he's an engineering student with life ahead of him as well. So, you know, I don't know. There's a lot that plays into that as well with, you know, where we're headed and where he's headed and things like that. So I'm not focusing on that stuff right now. I'm focusing on the immediate stuff. To be honest with you, I haven't given any of that any thought.
Well, speaking of the immediate stuff, and that would be a team we know as Minnesota State Mankato Mavericks. They are coming to town last week, ranked second. We'll get the this week's rankings out in about an hour. They split, as you mentioned, with Bowling Green falling 3-2 in overtime on Friday night, coming back and getting the win 5-1 on Saturday night. They're just, as you always say, they're top to bottom, Coach. They're well coached, and they're so veteran this team is. There's not many holes.
They didn't even need to recruit a guy this year. So the couple of good players they brought in, you know, Coach Hastings said that he was sending a message to his other guys. Not a message, but nobody's locked into that lineup. You have to perform, and you have to get it done every week in order to get in the lineup. They have guys that are dressed as extra forward and sitting out that would be playing for any other team in our league and playing several in the top six roles. So they get it out of their players. What I really like about what I admire about what they do, and it's a lot like it, and I know the feeling because it's a lot like it was when I was at Lake State, and it's a lot like the junior teams when I was coaching and juniors were, is that when they get a breath of life, they take advantage of it, and it doesn't have to be much, and we can see they've done it against everybody. But if you recall, 5 years ago, whatever, with Tanner and everybody here, we had them by 2 goals in the championship game at the XL.
Right.
They came back and beat us. We had them here last year. We had them beat twice. In the last 2 minutes of the game, the one game they had their goalie out, we had a chance to go for the empty net. We had them beat in that game, 1-0. They ended up scoring, quickly threw it at our net and made a play and scored and beat us in overtime. And then the next night we had them again with a couple minutes left, and we had a guy take a 5-minute major, and they capitalized on it. They were down by 2 goals. Was it 2 goals or a goal to Bowling Green last year? 2 goals in the last like few minutes of the game in the league championship game at Mankato for the league playoff title.
Pulled the goalie
and scored twice and beat him in overtime. They execute when it's on the line, and that's a sign of a great team, is that when you execute, when you've come together and you execute with the game on the line. Now, first of all, you have to be prepared to do that. You have to practice it, you have to expect it, you have to work at it, and then you have to go out and execute it against a team that's putting their top guys out against you. That's a good group of hockey players. That's a well-coached group. That's what all of us are striving for. I had that type of thing going in junior hockey in the Sioux when I was coaching juniors. You just knew if they even opened a crack, we were getting into that crack and busting it wide open, and that's a great feeling to have as a coach.
Another question coming in, Coach. Who has the drive to push back early in a game when the score is 2-1 so the lead does not cement itself for a full period like it did in the last game? Any lineup changes coming up this weekend?
Can you?
Yeah, I'm a little confused too. Who has the drive to push back early in a game when the score is 2-1, so the lead does not cement itself for a full period like it did in the last game? Maybe 1-1 is what they're talking about, but it was 1-1 for over a period and a half.
Yeah.
In that game.
If you're talking about the second period, that's. That's a legit question. That's what we're looking for is those players that don't take a breath after the first period, and but when the other team feels challenged and comes after you. They scored to make it 2-1 really, and we probably might have had the edge in play in the third period up until that time. They made it 2-1 and we were going on the power play for our first power play. And then all of a sudden they scored to make it 2-1, but then we came back and got 2 or 3 very good scoring chances after that. So again, that comes from everybody. We all react to what the results of what we get is how we learn. And that's different for different people. Some people need to have negative reinforcement, which is a terrible way to go through life. But some people need to have negative reinforcement. Some people don't react to negative reinforcement. They need positive reinforcement. But whatever it is, and I liken that to the guys that do things behind the scenes and tear apart a team. They do, there's a negative side to that, that they've learned to get what they want, to feel good about themselves by doing that. That's a negative thing, but it's how they've learned. It's how they've learned. There's no good, bad. That's just how they learned. Others, they were raised in a way that they need to do things a certain way. When they did something wrong, admit to it, hold accountability to themselves, be honest with things. To other people, they have to do that because that's the way they were raised, and that's the reinforcement they go after. What you're looking for is hockey players that grow from positive reinforcement doing things the right way. That's what you look for. That's why character is so important, because character is what you do when no one's looking, when no one's paying attention, what you are at that point. What do they say? Your reputation. What would you rather have, a good reputation or, good character or something like that? But the reputation is what other people think of you or perception or whatever. The point I'm trying to make is one is who you are. The other is what other people think you are. What's more important is who you are and how you react. So we're looking for guys that react, and those players that get reinforced and grow from that and have the competitiveness in them will be the guys that will take over.
Well, it should be a great series. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for all your questions, by the way. The Huskies will host one of the top teams in the nation in Minnesota State. We'll see where they're ranked this week. But game times are 7:07 Friday night and 6:07 on Saturday night. Tickets are available, but don't wait. This is a big series, and the Huskies will... I just love watching these two teams play every time they battle because it doesn't matter who's where in the rankings or everything. There's something about when the Huskies and the Mavericks play; it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of fun, and good thing this year is they aren't any more popular with the league office than we are right now. So it should be a lot of fun.
So game time 7:07 both Friday on Friday night and 6:07 on Saturday night. Coach, we only got about 15 seconds, but I just want to get your comments on the early start on Saturday night. Do you like it?
I love it. Yeah? I love it. I'd go earlier. If we fill the building, I think it's really good. And when you're on the road, it gets you on the road that much quicker. So I think it's a great thing.
I love it. I love it too. All right. So that is it for the Joe Schaan Hour. Thanks for all your questions. Thanks for listening. We'll do it again next Monday, and hopefully it's after a couple of big wins against a very good Minnesota State team. Call the Central Ticket Office for tickets at 487-2073 or go to buyhuskiestickets.com.